As what I mentioned at the beginning of this Mass, we are celebrating today the Solemnity of All Saints. And I want to emphasize the word solemnity because solemnity is the highest liturgical celebration that we can do at Mass. It is the highest. And the question is, why is this a solemnity that took the place of a regular Sunday? If we look at the calendar of the church, the liturgical calendar of the church, every single day there is a saint assigned to it. There is a saint that we could celebrate in the church except on those high feasts and holy days like the Christmas Day, like, of course, the Ascension of our Lord and those holy days of obligation where we celebrate Jesus and the Blessed Mother. But if we look at the calendar, every single day there is a saint that we could celebrate. And the priest has the option to celebrate them or not. But if the celebration for a saint is a memorial, we are obliged to celebrate it, but most of the saints are optional memorials. There's only 365 days in a year. So that means, technically, if we follow that strictly, we can only celebrate more or less 350 days of that. And if you deduct all those holidays and obligations, you could probably celebrate 340-ish or 50 days for the different saint. But we know that there are more saints that we could fit in the calendar. So that is why we have this solemnity to celebrate them all. But what we celebrate today and honor today and remember today are not just the canonized saints, those who were officially proclaimed saints by the church, but also all those using the words in the first reading today, the multitude of people who are only known to God, who are there with Him in heaven. And that includes our families and friends who have gone before us, probably a spouse who passed away. And in my 10 or 11 years of ministry, I have celebrated so many funerals, and I'm sure there's a lot in them who are now enjoying that beatific vision with God, and we honor them today as well. But just a trivia for you guys as we celebrate this solemnity. How many do you think canonized saints do we have in the church right now? How many? Those that have been officially proclaimed saints. What's your guess? Give me a number, Mrs. Westerman. 500. 500. 1,000. 1,500. Actually, right now, it's close to 15,000 saints, canonized saints in the church, to that number. And do you know who was the Pope who canonized the most saints in the history of the Catholic Church? John Paul II. He canonized more saints than the 500 years of Catholicism before him. Can you imagine? 5 centuries before him, combined, he canonized more saints than those centuries. But why celebrate the saints if they are already in heaven? They don't need our prayers. They should pray for us, right? If they are already enjoying eternal bliss and happiness, and the vision of all vision, the goal of all goals, why are we taking one day? And it's a holiday of obligation normally to celebrate them. That was actually a question posed by Pope Benedict XVI when he was still the Pope, and he explained it and answered it in a very magnificent way. And I could not do justice in rephrasing it, so I'll just gonna read it to you. This is the question that he posed. Why should our praise and glorification, or even the celebration of this solemnity, mean anything to the saints? And he borrowed his answer from a great saint as well, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. He said, "The saints have no need of honor from us, neither does our devotion add the slightest thing to what is theirs. But I tell you, when I think of them, I feel myself inflamed by a tremendous yearning. When we think about them, it reawakens in us that desire to be part of the company of God, to be with them in the end. So as we celebrate them, we are reminded of our ultimate goal and destiny, the ultimate goal of Christian discipleship, and that is to be with God in the end." You know, it reminds me also of St. Thomas Aquinas' summary of his whole work when he was asked, "St. Thomas, you're the most intelligent person that we have encountered. You wrote treatises after treatises, the Summa and all of that. How can you summarize your work?" And the guy in his wisdom said, "I can only summarize it in two words, in Latin. Exitus reditus." Exitus, what's exitus? Where we get the word exit. Everything comes out from God. Reditus, go back. Everything, hopefully, will gonna go back to Him. That's really what Christian discipleship is all about, right? We were created out of God's great love for us. And hopefully, in the end, we find our fulfillment by finding ourselves in His embrace in the end. And the saints have done that, have achieved that. And you know, looking at some of the saints, you know, I was especially inspired by the newest one that we have beatified a few weeks ago. The last name I could remember, Acutis. What's his first name? Carlos Acutis. You know, a millennial. He died so young, and I was like, before, if we get, you know, we normally have a very great devotion to relics, right? Those things that the saints used before we could own is like a pen or a clothing. Right now, with him, we could probably use his computer as a relic. And this, you know, divide all the computers that he used, and it's like, oh, this is from him. I mean, there's always a saint whom we can identify ourselves with. You know, whenever these saints are not far off from us, they are closer to us than we think. You know, whenever I'm struggling with something, like I'm struggling with humility or with charity, with patience, I always ask, who is the patron saint for patience? And I Google it. And for that week, I would ask for that saint's intercession. You know, they have already mastered virtues and the values of Christian faith, but also they have their past. No saint is perfect. But every saint is someone who realized at one point of his or her life that God is the greatest good and treasure to pursue. and to possess. And that's really what sainthood is all about. That's really what holiness is all about. Holiness is not about figuring out at an instant. Rather, holiness is a journey, a pilgrimage. Talk about Saint Augustine, how long Saint Monica prayed for her son to be converted into the faith. This guy was a womanizer. This guy was all over the place doing the worldly stuff. And Saint Monica, God bless her, never really surrendered. And we have one of the most prolific theologians of the church. But if you look at the past of Saint Augustine, that's probably during his time, if somebody would say he would be a saint, someone would probably say, are you kidding me? But at one point of his life, he embraced conversion and never went back. That's really what sainthood is all about. Now, the question is, how do we get there? Okay, Father, we understand what holiness is all about. Can you give us the GPS? I wish it's that easy, right? What's the GPS to holiness? What's the GPS to heaven? There is a GPS. The gospel that we heard today. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are considered to be the GPS to heaven, and I'll tell you why. Last night, as we were changing there, for the Mass, I saw Deacon Bill already dressed in green. And I said, Deacon Bill, it's All Saints, so it should be white. I know he knows, but Deacon Bill, I hope you don't mind sharing this. And I said, it's white because we're celebrating All Saints. Then he said, oh, he was joking. He said, I thought we're celebrating Halloween. And I said, well, Halloween is actually, the word is very much connected to what we celebrate today. And there was another one who asked me as I was walking to the back last night, it's like, Father, what we're celebrating today is ordinary time. You're not wearing green. I said, it's All Saints. But getting that from the word, the word Halloween actually, in its original inception, is actually very religious. In its origin, the word hallow in English, in Old English, means what? Huh? To make holy. That's why we use the word in Our Father, hallowed be thy name, to make holy your name. Hallowed be your name, to make holy your name. So how do we make something holy? Jesus gives us. And how do we experience this hallowing? Is there a word such that? I think I could be permitted to use that word. Hallowing, meaning making ourselves holy. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How's poverty in spirit hallows us, make us holy? Well, if we consider the riches of heaven as our primary goal, and if God is our primary goal, and we are poor in other things because we consider God as our ultimate richness, then it hallows us. It hallows you and I. Making God as our ultimate treasure hallows us, makes us holy. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. How is mourning hallows us? When we find our consolation on God in the end. If in the midst of our frustration, desperation, whatever we are struggling with in our own life, and we find consolation not in chocolates, You know, but the problem with me is that whenever I'm anxious, I eat a lot. It's terrible. And my spiritual director told me, Carrie, don't find your consolation in chocolates. And I said, I know, it's terrible. But but if I find my consolation on God, then that hallows me. You know, in your frustrations in life, where do you find consolation? You know, there are people who, you know, whenever they're depressed, they go to Macy's. They shop. And then when they go home, they fight with their spouse because of the credit card bills. Where do you find your consolation when you are mourning? When you are alone? When there's lack of intimacy? There's lack of love? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. You know, it's amazing. I Googled last night meekness, because this is one value of the kingdom of God that really escapes me, that is considered to be a weakness nowadays. If you are meek, people think that you're weak. Because meekness, according to lexicon, is submissive, is to be submissive. You know, we think like a person who's submissive is weak. You have to be like in control all the time. How is this meekness hallows us, makes us holy? Well, if we submit ourselves to the will of God, it hallows us. What are the things that we have huge problem with? Oh my, I'm talking too much already. With meekness. And the list go on and on and on in here. This is the GPS, my dear friends. If you want to grow in holiness, we need to embrace the way of the Beatitudes. Because in the end, if we analyze these Beatitudes, they find their fulfillment in the person of Christ. Who is the one who embraced the greatest form of poverty? Who embraced Jesus? If you're already in God, if you're already God, and then you assume humanity, it's a huge demotion. If I were God, I would just say, I'm just going to send my best angel. He can take care of these people. Why do I have to be like them? No, that's the greatest poverty. Meekness. God, Jesus is the most meek, having submitted his will to the Father. And the different values. So when Jesus says, follow the Beatitudes in order for you to grow in holiness, he's practically telling us, follow me. Not me, but Jesus. Follow Jesus. Because all of these Beatitudes find their greatest fulfillment par excellence in him. Let me close my homily, this long homily, with the words from a French theologian that I have a hard time pronouncing, and I will not dare to pronounce because it's hard to pronounce his name. But he said something that really stayed with me. He said, there is only one real tragedy. One human real tragedy. And do you know what it is? Not to become a saint. There's only one real tragedy, and that is not to become a saint. And why is that? To be a saint, not to be a saint is not to be with the company of God. And there is nothing greater. I mean, there's nothing worse than that. Let's help one another get to heaven. I really want you guys to be in heaven, because if you're fun here, we're going to have great fun there. But I don't just want to be with my buddies. I want to see each of you, and hopefully you're going to see me there too. So pray for my holiness as well.